passing on 85.
Antonio, KC2WGB. How are you doing, sir?
John, I've been calling all evening. I've been listening to the tech net, but I couldn't get in. I'm on a Balfong. Just a few blocks in.
Yeah, Rich, I heard you fine in the beginning, but you're cutting in and out. You're not making it, and there was an awful lot of QRM tonight, so that's why you couldn't get in.
Hey, John, very good.
I know you were in there, Rich, but I couldn't copy a thing on that. Can you go to UHF, the 125? I said, can you transmit on the UHF, the 125 frequency repeater? Negative copy, Rich. You must have changed your position, I think, or maybe your antenna.
John, how copy? I'm in Massapequa Park. What is the eastern link for Limog?
The eastern link is 147.375. That's the listening frequency.
I'm going to try that right now, John. How does that sound?
Well, you can try that. It should come through the 850 machine because they are coupled up, and the 850 is still on.
Do you think I'll ask the people to talk to Peter?
I don't know, but I know tonight I can't hear that repeater at all, but you might be able to get in there, and that'll put you through the 850 machine.
And Robbie,
all right, Rich, give it a try. I'll listen for you.
KC2WGB from N2LDY.
Hey, Don. Good morning. I heard you here in the TechNet tonight. Glad to hear you in there. I'm waiting to see if Rich can get through the 375 machine.
Okay, well, that's what I'm using, so I guess if he's able to access it, then it might work for him. I guess I should mention, though, it has it's a positive shift out here, right? So it's 600 to the positive.
Yeah, it's 147.975 on the input.
Thank you, so I'll leave lots of pause in here. I did send you some emails on that subject that I was talking about tonight.
Okay, I haven't seen those yet. I didn't bring up any email after I got my letters for the TechNet.
Well, you might want to look back on that. I think I sent you something yesterday, I think it was.
Okay, when I go back in there, I'll double check the files. I know there's a few I didn't open. I saw, I believe, two from you. I don't know what the subjects were, though.
No problem. If you get a chance, you know, take a look, and we could discuss it further.
All right, I will do that. N2EO, are you out there, Rich?
John, I'm here, but I'm not going to go programming now. It's very hard to program this Chinese radio.
Yeah, don't forget that 375 is a positive shift 600, so you'll go 975 to transmit on 147.975, and it's the same PL, 136.5.
I'm aware of that, John. I am aware of that. By the way, you know, will be moving out this way probably in about a month, a little more than a month. Myself and Patty bought a house out here in Massapequa Park.
Oh, congratulations. All right, so it went through. So your house was sold, and you've already made the deal on the new one. That's great. And it's the house you wanted?
It's the house with four handicaps. It's accessible. It has ramps going into the house, no steps, and...
Okay, I heard that you bought the handicapped house, the one that was built for the handicapped guy.
I think the repeater's going on and off. Can you go to Howie's repeater on 440, whatever?
What, a UHF repeater? That I don't have programmed. I do have 449125. Can you hit that?
Put it in here, I'll try and hit it. So I haven't used it, but I think it's programmed in. I can go over to 449125, see if we can hit it, Roger.
Okay, I will QSY right now, and I'll listen for you. KC2WGB.
Julio.
12 a.m. 73, and good night from the W2VL repeater.
For visiting the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system, note number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link clear.
Auto connecting.
Node number 9126.
Welcome to the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system, note number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link active.
Thank you.
Net tonight at 8:30. Welcome to the W2VL repeater.
November 2, Kilo Zulu. Good morning. It's N2, KZ.
Miles, so
52 bad. I don't want to get out there, get back. I figured I'd start off early.
Yes, try and beat the traffic in and out, I guess.
Yeah, that's the idea. Where are you off to?
Off to work. My normal time.
I used to work around this time also. What to do with the department? I work here at the shift and all about the streets.
Well, this is my normal time going in when I'm doing day shift.
Now, there is traffic outside this early in the morning.
Oh, there's horrible traffic this early in the morning. As a matter of fact, 10 minutes later and it'll be twice as bad.
Oh, thank you for giving me a heads up. Now I know what to look for.
Yeah, you'll probably do all right on the Belt Parkway at this hour. You might have a few choke points, but you're not going to have anything major. Coming back, though, you got to watch out, because that's when the construction zones will be active.
Yeah, that's true. They're doing a lot of work. I was on Staten Island yesterday, though. I was amazed that I made good time going out there about 2 o'clock and coming back about 6, 7 o'clock. It was very good. I was expecting a lot of traffic for Mother's Day. It didn't work out that way.
To Zeddy P.
Hey, what's going on, Gary? Take a turn and pass it to Al.
Good morning, all. I take it you're in front of me, Rich. You let me know where you dropped the nails and everyone's slowing down. Al?
Yeah, good morning. My assistant's telling me what to do. At least I got something to talk to. It's very lonely here other than the radio.
As always, Gary, myself, and the occasional Kramer.
And in about 20 minutes or so, if you're still on, the not quite normal one should join us.
If you're really lucky, you'll get to talk to Pete S.E.T.
I know, I've heard him on in the morning on his trek to the school.
I'm usually in the tunnel by the time he comes on.
Praise the Lord.
That's the ammunition.
If they're into boom bounce also, or maybe I would even hear N2EO come on, who knows?
There would be a treat.
Yeah, I searched for a place on Long Island.
Where are you, Gary? I'm in the three-laner.
I'm just getting on to the Meadowbrook, so you're ahead of me. Just make sure you sweep everything clean and don't leave any nails.
You wish.
We'll see what the belt looks like very shortly. About 400 feet away.
I know what it looks like at this hour. You'll do all right, Al. You'll make it right to the Verrazano Bridge. No problem. Like I said, you might have a couple of small choke points, but nothing that's gonna make you grit your teeth and wish that you had a gun that you could stick in your mouth and pull the trigger.
Al, the belt looks like this large piece of asphalt with white dots on it, white dashes all over the place.
Can't believe it. They raise it from 13 to 15 if you don't have an easy pass.
What's the matter? You don't have an easy pass? What's the matter with you?
Got an easy pass. The SYL has it. She's going to Staten Island today, so I have to pay the bucks.
What's the matter with you? You don't have two easy passes?
I don't bother driving that much. You know, she does most of the long-range driving.
Doesn't cost you anything to order an extra tag. You have the extra tag. This way you don't have to go, oops, it's in the wife's car.
You mean the unit itself is the extra charge?
So you have it set up for automatic payment with a credit card or something like that. There's no deposit charge if they have a credit card on file.
I have automatic payment on it. So you mean I can pick up an extra tag at no charge?
Yes. You could have 15 tags. As long as you have it on automatic payment with a credit card, they do not charge a deposit for the tags. It's only when you're on cash payment or billable payment that they want a deposit.
That's interesting. So I got to go down there and, being aware of automatic payment, there is to one more tag I can fill in this car.
Yes. I mean, it's a little silver tag inside the glove box for those rare occasions that you need it, and it's there and ready to go. Simple, easy, right, Gary? XPPN in the four laner.
Yeah, the cash line, I imagine, then.
Hal, I think you could even get a tag in the cash line. I'm not certain. Ask for it.
Okay, what's the deal with a unit to put on the window, then? As far as the little box, just you have a tag you have to show.
You could put the two little, whatever they call those, quick attachments on the window and just not leave the easy pass attached to it and only attach it when you need it.
Okay, well, no, that's K6DPG. What I'm questioning is, if she has the tag, you know, the unit, we use her car, or my car, I generally take the unit, take it with me, and use it in my car for it together. But you're saying we could have two tags at the same price?
Al, the tag is nothing more than an identifier to the account. You can have more than one pointer to the account. You get the second tag and you leave it in your car. She leaves her tag in her car. This way, no matter which car either of you is in, there's a tag that can be used that's linked back to that single account.
Okay, so what you're saying is we'll have two transponders.
Cal, you're making it more complicated than it is. It's not a second account. It's an indicator. You want to call it a transponder, call it a transponder. It's just another tag that's linked to the account. You can go online and order it, and you can link that tag to your license plate on your car. There you go. You put that tag serial number with your license plate for your car, and then you throw it in the glove box, and these times when you need to go over a bridge or go someplace where Easy Pass is accepted, just take it out and stick it on the window.
Let me clear it up for you, Hal.
Go ahead.
Do you have any credit card accounts that both you and your wife have a credit card for the same account?
Oh, definitely. We have the Easy Pass on the credit card account.
No, I get what Gary's saying. Do you and your wife have debit cards or credit cards that are linked to the same bank account or the same credit account?
Definitely. And, yes, they're linked to the same account. Our Visa cards are a common card for both of us, so that's what we have our Easy Pass on.
More Easy Pass.
Actually, a debit card hooked up to the same account. So you have two cards running off of one account, just like a credit card.
Right, Hal. Did you need to open up a second account to get a second credit card for that account?
Oh, no. We have an account that we have a joint, and that's what our Easy Pass payments are on. And our Easy Pass payments run about almost $150 a month or better. They take out of the credit card.
Hal, you're not getting the point. Forget about Easy Pass right now. Did you need to open a second bank account to get a second physical credit card?
Next, tonight at 8.
Did you just tell the bank, hey, I need a second credit card for this account, one for me and one for my wife?
Oh, yeah. Visa's account for me and my wife.
Did you ask, did the bank give you a hard time when you asked them for a second credit card so she could have one in her wallet and you could have one in yours?
Oh, nothing to it.
Same thing with the Easy Pass.
Go against the Visa account we have, so I just have to get a hold of Easy Pass and talk to them and get another Easy Pass.
Just think of an Easy Pass like a credit card that you keep in your wallet.
That's good to know. When I get back from this thing, I'm going to call them up and see which I get the thing. Because, this time I have to see a special rating based on Staten Island, where this way it costs you a small fortune.
It's on the account. Just turn around and get a second credit card, a second Easy Pass.
Okay, there's no extra charge on it because it'll just go against the joint account.
Now you got it. No extra charge.
Very good. Okay, that's right. I don't know where you could do, you'll have it that way. That sounds good. Hey, it's these simple things that are very complex to me. Taking digital pictures and sending them over the computer, getting an Easy Pass, but yet look at the junk I work with.
The glare off of North Shore Towers is lovely at this time of the morning, Gary. And to PBN, Lake Vile.
And to ZDP in the three-laner coming up to Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I'll see that glare in a couple of minutes, but I got the polarized sunglasses on, so it may not bother me too much, but I'm sure we got a break point.
DBZ, westbound, up Parkway, and it's moving. But I'll tell you, some of these crazies on here, I can't believe it. You know, there's a lot of construction going on, and you saw supposed to change lanes, and they're moving all over the place.
Yeah, there's a lot of lovely, not detours, I guess they're traffic diversions over there, where all of a sudden all three lanes jump over 90 feet so that they could complete that bridge that they're working on, the bridge over the River Kwai over there. Very good. Very good. Ah, yes, Gary and his polarized sunglasses. Are those Foster Grants, Gary?
No, they happen to be Hugo Boss and their prescription.
So Hal has his polarized aviator sunglasses on.
No, I didn't take them this morning. Matter of fact, I was trying to get up in the air this afternoon, but with this thing that came up, I don't think I'm going to bother. Maybe tomorrow, if weather is good.
Man, you should have flown over there.
If the thing wasn't so heavy that I was picking up, I could have possibly thought about it. So this thing is about almost 150 pounds, 75 pounds. It's two pieces that go together.
All right, so that's a passenger.
But with fuel and everything else, and the weather, I don't think I'd have a long enough runway.
We'll have to see how late I'm working tonight. Thursday night, Friday night last week, we worked real late.
Yeah, well, today I've got, up until about 1 o'clock, I've got the regular work plan, and then, an unmarked police car next to me. Wonderful. Totally unmarked. Anyway, and then I've got my senior goodbye luncheon, and then I've got the goodbye boat trip if I decide to go on it.
So, let me go out from there. I gotta try to make a phone call. I'll be back. Your logic's Dog Peter Zebra, just coming up to Knapp Street.
Copy that on Knapp Street Shoes. Yeah, the repeater gets a bit noisy over there, but once you're up on the Verrazano, you'll do all right. Ah, very good. So you're gonna be singing goodbye to you all day long, Gary, once you finish up at 1 o'clock. There's, major push on this Sprint Metro PCS project that we've been
working on. They want it, like, finished by May 20th. So, last Thursday, last Friday, they were pushing us to stay out until we were finished splicing whatever needed to be spliced for the runs that we were on. We stayed out till about 8 o'clock Friday night. So we'll see what happens tonight. Might be working late every day this week. Cha-ching!
You know, I always wondered, in conventional copper cable, even if they have it just bundled into bundles marked, they have color coding on the insulation of the wires quite often. Or they can, how do you identify which fiber is which when you line things up and you actually have to make your terminations?
There's color codes on the fiber too.
You know, I always think of fibers as just being clear glass rods. No color, no nothing.
Doesn't all copper wire look the same when you strip off the insulation?
I didn't know that they put insulation between the individual strands of fiber.
How else would you tell the difference between them?
That's what I was asking. You know, it's like toning them out. But that cable has God knows how many pieces of fiber to line up.
There's different styles of fiber. There's loose tube and ribbon. For just like your two basic types. Loose tube fiber contains inside of the cable itself, buried within all of the things that make the structure of the cable, the strengthening members, any jacketing or any other protective coatings or coverings on top of them, there will be these straws, these thin straws, and the straws will have colors. And inside of each of the straws can be contained strands of fiber that are also identified with colored coverings. It's not necessarily insulation, Gary. It's a painted jacket just so that you can identify the difference between fiber number 1 and fiber number 12 in each one of these tubes, or in the other case, ribbons. Where they come six fibers or 12 fibers in a ribbon. Looks just like a little ribbon, and if you look at it really close, you would see the different colors of the jackets and of the fibers pressed into this plastic ribbon with like a varnish coating over it so that it keeps it all together in a solid ribbon with them, everybody running parallel.
So a typical cable has how many actual individual fibers? I'm sure they come varying sizes, but the type that you're pulling now.
You'll be pulling anything from 24 strand to 864 strand. It depends upon the job, depends upon where we are and what we're doing. 90% of the time, we've been pulling 24-strand stuff because most of the big stuff is already in, the big backbone stuff.
I can only imagine the tediousness of lining up 824 strands before you splice it.
Multiples of 8, 864.
Still, it's got a lot of pieces to line up when you start fusing that glass together.
The same operation over and over and over again. If it's ribbon, you're fusing, if you're doing ribbonizing, ribbon to ribbon, it's 12 at a time. You're
time. It's just a lot to line up. I guess it's the same thing if you were lining up regular copper cables. A lot to line up and make sure every connection is made properly.
That's what the machines are for. The machines do all of that.
Yeah. They make the connections and they get everything lined up, but you got to get the fibers in the slots.
Yes and no. There are some of the machines that do that too. Depends upon the machine that you're using. JD actually came out to visit me on Friday afternoon, and he got to see some of this stuff, and he was like, his jaw was dropped. He's like, this is cool. So, JD could tell you a little bit.
So basically, all you have to do is cut clean and shove the thing into the splicer and it orients it?
Yeah, you just got to make sure that you're cutting, cleaning, and shoving the right pieces together. You know, that's something that you gotta be conscious about.
Purple jacket, the purple jacket. Red jacket, the red jacket, etc.
Except when it's times when it's purple jacket to green jacket.
Oh, you're purposely cross coloring at times.
Yes. What if you're taking a 144 strand cable and it's a splice point for multiple directions, and you need to take that 144 and you need to break it out to go out into three or four separate directions on, let's say, 48 or 72 strand cables? You need to make color changes, and that's where the mystical black arts come in, because now that's what we've been doing. We've been going and we've been either changing and revamping splices so that we can move the splices down a different path, because we've been doing a lot of aerial work on the telephone poles. You take, you know, you'll have multiple directions that the stuff is going out in on the telephone poles, and we need to change it just to get two strands of fiber from point A to point B that may not have existed before. We need to make sure they're connected and that they go back to point A to point B.
So somewhere in Time Warner's vault is a big map of every color and where it's going. And what colors it's connected to.
Yes, it's called a matrix. And we have to verify, number one, that the matrix is correct, because there's lots of times that things go on that Time Warner doesn't keep accurate records of. Like if there's a fire on a telephone pole from an electrical source or whatever, or someone knocks down a telephone pole or something like that, and they have to do an emergency replacement of cable. Sometimes if the old cable was, let's say, a 72-strand cable that went from, you know, one avenue to the next avenue, and that cable had to get replaced, and all they had laying around in the yard was a 144-strand cable, they're going to run the 144-strand cable, but now they don't update the matrix to say that they've got 72 spare strands between those two splice points.
And then you get there and say, I got 144, it's only supposed to be 72. Which 72 are the active ones?
Now you're starting to get a small inkling of what we're dealing with. If you're in a splice case and the matrix says that coming into the splice case is 144 strands from the network operation center or whatever, and amongst the things that are going out of it are two 48 strand cables, and you're supposed to connect up to one of the two 48 strand cables, and those cables are not marked as to one going, let's say, north or south or east or west. So what do you think happens?
happens, you got a 50-50 shot of grabbing the correct cable, leaving that splice point going to your second splice point.
So what do you do? You say, all right, let's pick this one. Cut it and see, did the right area go dark?
Oh, no, 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 no. And 2PPN, by the way. No, 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 no. This is all Time Warner business customers. You do that, and Time Warner will cut off your testicles.
So I'm sure there's some sort of field test equipment to see which one's got the signals that you want on it.
Yes. Well, we have a cute little device. Looks like, I'm trying to think of what it looks like. It looks like a TV remote. And it's got a little piece on the top that slides. And it's called a traffic indicator. And you can take either a ribbon or a single strand of fiber that's connected in a splice environment, and you lay it in this thing, and it can actually detect if there is activity on that fiber and which direction it's going in.
Yeah, but it'll tell you that the activity is going from left to right on that fiber, let's say, but it's not going to tell you if that cable is the cable going north or south.
Oh, but you can use that with the guy back at the network operations center to determine that at least you're starting out in the right place, because he can send you special signals on the fiber that you can detect with this particular piece of equipment, because it measures frequency, actually wavelength. It measures different wavelengths. And you can then start making educated guesses and all sorts of other determinations. We actually, on one job last week, had to physically trace the fiber on the telephone poles for about 2,000 feet, because nobody had a clue which piece of fiber that we were supposed to use, and there were parallel runs leaving the splice point. And it turned out that they did run a cable that wasn't recorded.
Ooh, wunderbar. So this little detector is the equivalent of a tone detector.
Yes, it actually looks like, kind of like the thing that we used to call the banana telephone toner. It has four or five LEDs on it. It's got a thing that says traffic with an arrow to the left and an arrow to the right. And then it's got three LEDs that each one will indicate different wavelengths. And when you're, you know, verifying that you're on the correct strand that you're going to be splicing, the guy sends you a signal. You see the signal, you say, okay, turn it off. He turns it off. Same thing like a toner. And you do that a couple of times to make sure that you got the right one, because you do not want to cut the wrong strand and cause an outage.
Did you take the Gaga today? Because I'm coming up to the decision point.
Yes, I took the Gaga, and I'm already coming up on, some people call me Maurice.
Gay P2 Incubator.
Hi, host, Steve Arino.
I figured I'd wait till you guys came up from there and I would jab in there.
John, so would you please tell me what people are posting expletives, because no one seems to know why.
Oh, the expletive? When the Rangers lost.
Oh, well, gee, you know, how about a clue for some of us that don't follow sports?
Well, the other people that responded knew what it was. But yes, that was on Friday night when they lost, and we elated afterwards because we were screaming at the top of our lungs at this bar we were in. Anyway, they won last night, so we're all happy campers. So tonight is the night.
Yes, game seven.
So Friday night I decided that I'm too old for this stuff, for that expletive. I can't do this anymore. I can't come home at 4 o'clock in the morning.
What time you got home and you didn't texicle me? I was out till 8 o'clock.
We went to JJ's till, I think me and Dave left at 6:30. And then we were in the city by 8.
I was over on Braddock Avenue and Winchester Boulevard till about 7:30.
Yeah, we were already on the way. Oh well. Maybe next time. Garish?
Yeah, well, we'll see what the Knicks can do tonight. Or the Rangers. I forget who he's even playing at this point. Or what sport is going on. I haven't really been following. I know both the Knicks and the Rangers have gotten into the playoffs. What happened with the Ranger game last night?
They won 1-0 for this game 7 tonight, and the Knicks lost on Saturday night. So tonight is a Ranger game, and tonight's also bowling. I only got one or two more weeks. This is all extended because of Hurricane Sandy's postponements earlier in the season. We had fun, I think. I know I went home with Barbie, so it was a long night.
NY2H mobile.
Ooh, what's up? Take a turn, pass it to Gary, and SPPN.
Hey, Rich. Morning, Gary. Good morning, Steve. Whoever else might be in there. No squirrel's tail. I wasn't sure if I was even getting out, because Squirrel's tail is gone out here in the east. And, okay, I was listening before I got my coffee. Rich, and quick question when it gets back to you. That little sniffer device for the fiber, how does that work? If it's not in line or it's not splicing it, is there a leakage that it detected from through the skin? I just wondered about that. Gary, over to you, sir. NY2H, full name here is Luke.
Morning, Luke. Can't answer. Don't use it. You give it to Rich.
Go ahead, Rich.
Yes, Lou. If you pick a piece of fiber, believe it or not, the light leaks out of it. People use it. Let me just make sure I'm good, because I'm going to take the bridge. Can you hear me? Take a box.
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit in that spot.
Give me a chance to get up onto the Kirstios go. Give me like 2 minutes. Talk amongst yourselves.
Surprised you didn't pick up on me and Bob leaving.
I did, but I was puking. I was throwing up a little bit in the back of my throat.
But you'll let me know when you're better. Anyway, Loop. He'll take pictures when he gets out from the spot he's in bad spot.
Yeah, I will pass it around. And also, Steve, we had a hunt Friday. I saw Andy, and I think Andy said you guys will bowl together, but he was proclaiming that was it. Bowling was done. So, I tend to believe you. Gary?
I should be better. You're going to believe Andy? Rich, enlighten him. Enlighten who? Him about Andy? About Andy and your fiber toner.
Well, I bowl in 2 weeks. That's on Thursday night that ended. He's correct.
Yes, I don't have to enlighten him about Andy. Go ahead, keep your mobile. Ready, Lou?
I'm coming up to the tunnel, so it's time to say 7-3, N2ZEP clear.
Loop. Yeah, I'd rather say 7-3 to Gary. I think it says ZEP like in Zeppelin. I'm not sure.
God, that noise is back now.
I'll be local again. I did some work on the boat too that I was going to tell you about, but
easy being me.